The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Catch the savings at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Brandon during their Pass the Savings sales event. To celebrate their 70th anniversary, they're driving down the prices and passing the savings to you. Check it out at edmorescadillacbrandon.com and edmorescadillactampa.com. You'll find their entire lineup of new Cadillacs, save big on every model. Plus, get free car washes with every service appointment. Don't miss the Pass the Savings sales event at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Brandon. It's Victory Tuesday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Great to be back. It's just too long between these podcasts, Ira. 4 days, 5 days. I'm jonesing every Thursday. Now we're back.
Steve, you know, we are reminded once again, and I don't care that Lightning training camp's a couple of weeks away, and I don't care that college football's in the air. Steve, we are reminded again that when all is right in the Buccaneer world, that's what takes over this town. It doesn't take much. It's a football town. It's a Buccaneer town. We tend to forget because the Bucs haven't been relevant, Steve. But all it took was one season-opening win on the road against a divisional opponent to get everybody in this town excited about the team that plays out of Raymond James, and I'm not talking about the USF Bulls.
So, Ira, you know, in your country club lifestyle that you lead, is that the vibe you're getting across town in these last couple of days?
We're all sipping our Mai Tais, Steve, and we're all talking about your favorite, Austin Seferian Jenkins, coming back from the dead. You had him buried. You had him off this ball club, on August 28th. He's going to be gone, and I said, not so fast, my friend. He's a former second-round pick. Investiture, my friend, investiture. And Steve, I don't know what was better, those two passes or those two catches. Put them together, and that's a highlight package.
Oh, absolutely, and because of the catches, the passes by Jameis Winston aren't being talked about, I think, as much as they might be. But let me just clarify a little bit. I didn't say Seferian Jenkins would be off the roster. I said it wouldn't shock me. And I said that if he's your third-string tight end, then that's just great, and he's going to have to earn his way back. And incredible catch. Can't take that away from the guy. I thought it was pretty amazing that Dirk Koetter showed the trust in ASJ. First third down of the game. First third down is a pass down the right flank with ASJ matched up on a linebacker, and he gets the pass interference call. That's a lot of trust. But I want to point to the other tight ends as well. Your guy, Brandon Myers, got a touchdown. I think that was his first one with the Bucs, and they all got work.
Absolutely. Cameron Brate made a couple of catches, Steve. You know, I'm a little partial to my boy Brandon Myers. First of all, I'm the only guy that talks to him in the locker room. He's always by his locker, always there. And, you know, he's on his phone. He's got his headphones on. I always walk around to him and chat him up, not necessarily interviewing him. Just, you know, the guy's been around. Steve, he's 3 or 4 years removed from a 76-catch season. The guy knows how to get open and catch the football. I believe he did that for the Raiders. And he wasn't bad for the Giants the next year.
Yeah, he caught about 50 balls for the Giants.
That's right. So it was good to see him float into an open spot. And Jameis was resilient enough to catch him and find him. Steve, one quick point I want to make now. Steve, I was the first guy on this show a week ago. And I said it repeatedly, and I'm not backing down, that Atlanta was very beatable. You thought Atlanta was a little bit better than I thought Atlanta was. You didn't think they were great, but you thought they were average or maybe a cut above. But having said it, Steve, to me, let's be brutally honest, that should not take away from the Buck victory. First of all, I thought they outplayed the Falcons. Atlanta made a few bonehead plays that helped along the way. But, Steve, here's my main point. How many years have we watched Buck football where, Steve, they don't beat the teams that they should beat? So I'm not going to put a dampener on a victory against the Atlanta Falcons, especially on the road, when the Falcons had a lot to prove for Dan Quinn. The Bucs went out. They did what they had to do, Steve.
Yeah, opening day on the road, there's no way to pour cold water on that. No matter what you thought of the Falcons, I think the consensus around the league put the Falcons as a 6-10 win team, depending on who you asked. They're 8-8 last year, so this is not a bad win. It's a great win, in fact. And there's no reason to throw cold water on it, but I'll ask you this, Ira. 7-9 was your pick for the season. Are you still sticking with that?
Well, if
you want to revise,
Steve, if they come home from Arizona 2-0, facing the punchless Rams at home, Ray J will be rocking. My pick's not going to look very good, but you know what? That's not the worst thing in the world either. For Buck fans, it means they had a good season. I'm not shocked they beat Atlanta, Steve. Now, are they catching Arizona at the right time? We'll see. Bruce Arians is not a happy chap. We'll talk more about that later in the week on a podcast. But as you mentioned to me off air, Steve, even if the Bucs should lose, coming home 1-1 from a two-game road trip, not too shabby.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And, of course, your podcasts are here on JoeBucksFan.com every Tuesday and Thursday, presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Now, Ira, this game, the Bucs had some tremendous accomplishments within the game itself. Four drives of 75 yards or more for a touchdown. I don't know when the last time we've seen that from a Bucs team. Lovie Smith is rolling around somewhere because the Bucs actually won a game without forcing a turnover, a takeaway, or whatever he wants to call
it. That's right. Simple as that, Steve. Simple as that.
When you look at this game as sort of the windows into the game, what most impressed you within the game that you saw?
Steve, what strikes me the most, and I think we've seen it long enough that we can call this a pattern, Steve. Since Dirk Koetter came to town, this is a darn good offense. This is a darn good offensive team. Now, they didn't reach the end zone last year as many times as they should have. Their red zone attack was a little weak, and Koetter knows that. But they finished, and between the 20s, they gained a ton of yardage last year, over 6,000 franchise record, with a rookie quarterback taking every snap and Vincent Jackson missing a good deal of the season. So my point, Steve, is Arizona, you best be ready for a pretty effective offense here. Winston has weapons. Charles Sims just continues to grow before our eyes. The offensive line is doing a pretty good job, Steve. I didn't think they were outstanding, but I thought they were solid enough. And on the two critical passes, Winston had all day and a clear look downfield. Nobody in his face. So the game within the game that you're talking about, Steve, is this team moves the football, and we're not very used to that around these parts.
Yeah, and Ira, you know, you say the offensive line wasn't as outstanding. Yeah, it's a very strong word, but I'm going to give them an A- for that game, and for a few reasons. One, Winston was not sacked. You'll take that all day long.
All day long.
All day long. And you know what? A couple times he was hit. It really didn't have anything to do with the offensive line. Once Charles Sims was blown up on a safety blitz.
Yes, he was.
And the running game, it had its spurts. You know, they moved the chains a little bit, especially in that last drive when they needed to a bit. Not to close the game out. But you look at the film, you watch it again, you see some punishing, really A-list plays by Donovan Smith, Ali Marpet. It wasn't perfect, but you get that. You're going to win more games than you lose with that kind of performance.
Absolutely. Now, the competition, Steve, is going to get tougher as they go along. Because don't forget, after the Rams game, I believe they're playing both Super Bowl teams in Denver.
And we've seen those defenses.
But, look, Atlanta has a defensive coach. He had 6 months to prepare a defensive game plan for the Bucs. And what happens? Four 75-yard drives. And may I say, that's not a 75-yard drive marked by a 68-yard pass. They're methodical drives down the field. Buck fans just are not used to that. And by the way, the penalties were kept pretty much to a minimum, much better on the discipline angle than we're used to.
It was under control. There were still some moments. I think it gets lost a little bit. When Jameis did have that interception with the miscommunication with V-Jax, there was an illegal procedure call on Austin Seferian Jenkins on that play. Nobody paid attention to it because it was wiped out with the interception, but ASJ can't do that on the 6-yard line, and you know he heard about that this week. But things were better. But now on those explosive plays from the Bucs that we're not used to, we're also not used to the explosive plays against this defense. And we saw that a lot on Sunday.
You could chalk some of it up to a first game under a new scheme and a new defensive coordinator and a bunch of new starters on the defense, particularly in the secondary. But overall, and I believe you mentioned this right away, you know, they made some plays. The secondary looks like it's improved. We know the D-line is improved, and it will be tested with Jacquees Smith on the shelf. I said it on your show last week, Steve. The biggest difference to me in this team is the depth and the flexibility of this defensive line. We're about to see it now because one man is down. But, you know, you've got Howard Jones, and you've got Noah Spence, and you've got Will Golston, you know, and Robert Ayers. All of a sudden, you're not desperate, Steve. Jacquees Smith, as you mentioned, 7 sacks last year. Normally, you'd say, woe is me. I don't think the Bucs are saying that. You'd love to have Jacquees Smith, but they have the guys, Steve, to keep going. Next man up actually means something this year.
Real quick on Jacquees Smith. A lot of our readers here at JoeBucksFan.com, Ira, they found out that he got hurt covering a kickoff, and they're asking themselves today, why is a guy with 7 sacks covering a kickoff? A guy who's valuable. What's your initial reaction to that without talking to anybody at One Buck yet?
I got to agree with our readers and our listeners that are saying that. And I know it sounds like we're being a Monday morning quarterbacking here, but Smith's a valuable member of the team. You're short maybe in the linebacker department, which you would figure is a natural, you know, for playing special teams. You got 3 quarterbacks. You know, you're treating Ryan Griffin like he's the secret, you know, sauce of the NFL that somebody's going to grab if he's on a practice squad.
It's like John Gruden and Josh Johnson.
Yeah, he was
always like, oh, my secret weapon, yeah, Josh Johnson.
You know, I'll say it right now. If Ryan Griffin were to get plucked away from somebody off of special teams, I don't think there's going to be people outside One Buck with pitchforks demanding Jason Light's resignation, Steve. They'll get somebody next year when Mike Glennon walks, which he will. And we haven't seen enough of Ryan Griffin to get these fans excited. So, you know, if I got to go with 2 quarterbacks and add a linebacker, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's kind of a sad story about Jack Smith, but that depth will be tested, and they were very confident they had it. Cutter mentioned that. You mentioned it, and now we're gonna see it flat out. Earlier today, Ira, actually only about an hour and a half ago, Jacquees Rogers, the running back from the Falcons who went to the Bears, Dirk Cutter guy for 3 years in Atlanta, a guy who had a hell of a run during the 2012 playoffs for the Falcons, is now a Buccaneer. He was signed. Presumably he takes the roster spot of Jacquees Smith as of this taping. And you know, you've seen Jacquees Rogers. What do you think?
I think he fills a role, Steve, and they're a little thin at running back. They've done a lot of maneuvers the last week or two to fill that spot. Mike James was there. Now he's not. He adds a little speed to that backfield. Now, funny enough, Doug Martin has a knack for breaking 40-yard runs. But I don't think anybody, you know, is going to, you know, mistake him for a burner necessarily, or Charles Sims. I think it's a smart move. And Steve, once again, it proves what you and I know for a fact. What do you grab? You grab what you're familiar with. You grab what you know, from a Darryl Smith to a Jacquees Rogers. Guys that you know that can do the job, that you have a comfort level with. Not a surprising move, Steve. And, you know, I think ultimately it's an upgrade, and down the line it can pay dividends.
Yeah, I think bottom line, it's quality depth. He's still a young guy. Cutter knows him. Familiarity. He can return kicks and punts, which, you know, if Humphreys becomes the guy they think he's going to be, they're not going to want him on special teams eventually. So,
you know, just like Cecil Shorts.
Yeah.
Steve, it's an upgrade. Not necessarily going to show up on the next Sunday that's coming up, but it's a long season. These guys are going to make contributions.
I'll say this, Aaron. I'm curious because you've been covering this team for so long, and you know the ins and outs. Do you think there's a little bit of John Gruden and Dirk Cutter, his love for the veterans, and just sort of his approach a little bit?
I can see what you're talking about, Steve. He wants that comfort level, that fit, that, you know, what does he always say? When it's your time to do your job and make a play, make a play. And these guys have made plays for Dirk Cutter in the past. He's very familiar with these people. You know, it always brings me back to a line from one of your favorite movies, Steve. Silence of the Lambs. Now, I can just see from your face. Where's Kaufman going with this? I'll tell you where I'm going with this, Steve. When Anthony Hopkins was talking to Clarice through the bars, and she was trying to get him to talk about, you know, how do I find this mass murderer, serial killer, and he said, what do you covet, Clarice? You covet what you know, what's around you. And I don't want to compare Dirk Cutter, you know, to a butcher, but you covet what you know. And these moves are smart. Gruden was famous for it. You know, the Charlie Garners of the world didn't work out. Tim Brown was at the end of the line. But these are smart moves by the Bucks. And sometimes, Steve, the 48th guy on your roster ends up making a big difference.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny when you mentioned Silence of the Lambs, I just figured you were renaming the Lovie Smith administration. I just thought,
cheap shot even for you,
Steve. That's not a cheap shot. Come on. Come on.
By the way, speaking of that, you haven't even mentioned Quan Alexander yet, young man.
Well, you wrote a whole column about it.
I did write a column.
Let me tell you a little Quan Alexander story.
Go ahead, Steve.
I just published this on JoeBucksFan.com. We didn't talk about it. I'm sure you didn't read it yet because it just went up. Last night, Quan has a radio show now on Buccaneers Radio Network. He was on his debut show. And, you know, somebody asked him about Daryl Smith, the veteran, 172 starts, came in here. Mike Smith's guy, knows, just a real classy veteran. And they asked Quan about, what is this Smith guy doing for you? Well, Quan Alexander proceeds to say, Ira, that he was out of control last year, out of control on the football field, that he was ramping up his speed, just trying to go fast, and he was overrunning everything. And it took Daryl Smith to come in here and basically coach him. And in addition to Quan studying his practice film and realizing, hey, I got to slow down and I got to do exactly what Daryl Smith does.
Let the game come to you.
And he's Quan said that basically the big difference in his play this year is Daryl Smith. Now, is that an indictment of the past coaching regime?
It depends on how you want to look at it. You always look at it as the glass is half empty, Steve. I'm different. You know what that tells me? I've always been big on this, and you've heard me before. And I'll go back to some of those late Gruden teams that went 9-7, 9-7. They had a lot of veterans on that team. And that last team was 9-3 till they fell apart.
Yep.
Thank you, Monty Kiffin, for telling everybody you were leaving town and the team fell apart. And there's a big correlation between those two. But, Steve, guys like Ike Hilliard, Kevin Carter, Warrick Dunn, even if these guys, their best days are behind them, Daryl Smith, they serve a role, Steve. They absolutely serve a role. They've been in big games. They've been around. And coaches sometimes can talk all they want, Steve. It means a lot more, much bigger impact when it comes from your teammate. And bravo, Daryl Smith, for grabbing this guy and treating him like a protege. And it sounds like everything Alexander did last year, which was very impressive, he did it all on his athleticism. And now he's bringing smarts to the table. And if the results from game one are any indication, this guy's going to be in the Pro Bowl. He was phenomenal. What a fourth-round steal from your boy Jason Light, who's building quite a draft resume.
Yeah, he was dominant on Sunday. You said it best when you made sure everyone knew that he was the best defensive player on the field and with some very good defensive players on that field. Dominant, and yes, I trend a little negative. However, Ira, I'm playing with you a little bit. I think that was good news that, like you said, Alexander is learning from Smith. And because of what we've learned about Alexander being such a coachable, open-minded, get with Mike Smith at 7 a.m., study the chalkboard kind of thing, it raises his ceiling when we hear that, hey, I didn't even know what the hell I was doing last year, and I was still making a big impact.
Did you
it's
even
exciting.
Want to think if they hadn't drafted Alexander and Bruce Carter was manning the middle for your 2016 Bucks? You saw my note the other day.
Yeah.
The only Jet other than Geno Smith who was dressed and didn't get into that game was your boy, Bruce Carter.
Well, Jason Light, Buccaneers GM, it's fascinating, Ira, because he's been so dominant in his drafting. The drafts look great right now. He's got two in the books, actually three in the books, and the drafts look very good. The third one, obviously, you know, we don't know yet. But the free agent classes have been dreadful. Even though maybe we're getting an uptick with Robert Ayers playing well and making an impact.
Does that beg the question that Light has more control over the draft than he's had over free agency in terms of coaches have more of an input, possibly?
Well, you're the guy who knows everybody. You're supposed to know this stuff.
Well, I got to say, you got
to bring something to the table,
Calvin. To be fair, to Lovie Smith, who can't speak for himself, I don't think Lovie Smith went out and said, let's get Anthony Collins. I mean, we can't put that one on Lovie Smith's table.
No.
We just can't.
No.
And that guy's out of football, Steve. He's out of football. He can't get a job as a backup. So, you know, some of these hit and misses. You know, maybe Bruce Carter was a shared one with Light and Lovie Smith. Some of these defensive guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got a Bruce Carter who had played for Marinelli. You know that Marinelli said this guy's a ball player. You can coach him to play the middle.
You know, Major Wright or something. I understand.
You know, Light's resume on the free agents remains to be seen.
Sweezy looks like a Light pick.
Sweezy's a mystery. it's fun to kick around. It was good to see Clinton McDonald playing nearly a full game yesterday.
You got by the way, you got to think Lovie had a big input on the Josh McCown decision. You can't put that one all on.
I think
on
he
Jason
had the
Light.
Only input.
There you
I
go.
I mean, let's be real here.
Let's be real.
Jason Light has proved that he's smart enough and savvy enough and well-schooled under Don Shula and Bill Belichick enough to not walk into this franchise and say, Josh McCown is our guy.
That's right.
Going forward. It didn't happen.
That's
it
right.
didn't happen. But all right, Ira Kaufman podcast is rolling on. And anything, any parting shots, takes on the game that you haven't yet shared?
I thought it was great to see Cutter smile like that, Steve, because, you know, I've said, and I think you've backed me up, he's been wound a little tight. He's been a little uptight during training camp, during the preseason. And to go out and get a win in your first NFL game, and God knows he's waited a long time, Steve, for his shot, his opportunity. And God knows he knows he's not on a long leash based on what the Glazers have done the last 4 to 7 years. Three coaches, 7 years. Not a lot of stability. So it was good to see him smile, drop that persona, that shell that he's always walking around with. We'll see how long it lasts, Steve, but it's kind of refreshing while it's here.
Two real short ones, Ira. I know Mike Glennon throwing the Gatorade on him. That raised your antenna, Glennon.
It really did. You know, of all the people, I could see Vincent Jackson. I would have expected maybe a Quan Alexander or Jameis. You know, certainly Jameis Winston. And by the way, how about Jameis in that locker room? Listen up, guys. There's no doubt whose team this is, if there ever was, Steve. And even McCoy acknowledges that. It's all Winston all the time. And, Steve, has Jameis Winston done anything wrong since he's got the Tampa, besides a couple of shaky games earlier last season?
No. I mean, he's been really what you wanted a rookie quarterback to be. You know, knock on wood, it's exactly what you wanted out of a number one pick. And it's something we'll explore later, Ira. You just mentioned a shorter leash for Cutter. Well, you know what? After what we saw in that locker room in this last game, maybe that leash, that connection with Jameis, extends that leash far beyond anything we could imagine, because you know Team Glazer is smart enough to know not to mess with that unless they absolutely have to.
That's an excellent point. As long as Winston is flourishing, I don't think they want him. Don't want to mess with that connection.
I don't think so. All right. Ira Kaufman podcast returns Thursday right here on JoeBucksFan.com.
We'll be going in-depth on the Cardinals, my friend.
Absolutely. Yeah.